Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Bob Chapman is the chairman and former CEO of the $3.6 plus billion capital equipment and engineering solutions firm, Barry Waymiller. He has led the company's transformation from traditional management practices to truly human leadership, a people-centric approach where Barry Waymiller team members feel valued, cared for, and an integral part of the company's purpose. His book, Everybody Matters, which chronicles his journey in leadership philosophy, is a Wall Street Journal bestseller. It's recently been released and revised and expanded in a 10th anniversary edition. Welcome to the show, Bob.
I appreciate the opportunity to share our message and hope that we touch the hearts of your listeners.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, pretty traditional background. Raised in North St. Louis public schools, went to Indiana University. For some reason, decided to be an accountant. I don't remember why. And the greatest compliment somebody ever gave me is, I can't believe you're an accountant. And then got an MBA from Michigan and pretty traditional business background. And then went to Price Waterhouse for a couple of years in public accounting. My dad had invested in this company, Barry Waymiller, in the 1950s, pretty struggling old technology company that was pretty tired, but he'd taken a risk, invested in a small percentage of it. And eventually was able to acquire the balance of it. And in 1969, I'm in Price Waterhouse doing well. And he said, because we never discussed me joining the company. I never thought about it. I don't know that he did. All of a sudden, he said to me, would you ever consider joining the company? I need somebody I could trust. So I went from my public accounting background into a $18 million, 100-year-old family business. But lots of challenges, old technology, financial, and that's kind of my journey. You know, said that I raised six kids, our headquarters in St. Louis, and the company you just described today were the combination of over 150 adoptions, I call them, rather than acquisitions, around the world. We don't sell adopted companies. We develop them. And so my message really to you is a very global message. And I feel called today, I'm 80 years old, believe it or not. I was always the young kid in the company. Now I'm the old guy in the company. But I feel I have a message that could address many of the issues we face in this country, in the world, because we don't have the kind of leaders we need in any part of our society to care for the people they have the privilege of leading. So I just feel called. I always say you can retire from a job, but you can't retire from a calling. And my calling is to have leaders who have the skills and courage to care for the people they have the privilege of leading.
Has that always been obvious to you? How did you make that shift from accounting to being
Obviously my background was business leaders develop profitability, organic growth, shareholder value. And when I stepped in, I joined the company in 69, spent 6 years working with my father, who had a heart attack when he was 57. So he was he was seemed fine, but you know, he lived under that issue of heart failure. So he died suddenly in 1975. I stepped into the company with very fragile financially, went through a series of initiatives to try to develop his historic base, which is making equipment for the brewing industry, with some significant struggles, decided that I needed to reshape the future. As I said, our history, I'm proud of our history, but our history doesn't give us a future. So I decided to start doing acquisitions to try to get us into better fields that gave us a better future. The only problem was that I had no money. The company was so fragile. So it was a challenge, but obviously it worked. 150 acquisitions later. But I used the tools I knew to cut costs, improve margin, improve profitability, grow share. And we were doing, you know, long journey, but we were doing fine. And I had a series of, I call them revelations, because I didn't read the books. We weren't trying to solve a problem. Nobody said anything to me. I just had a series of revelations that changed profoundly the way I saw, the way I was taught, and the way I saw my role as a leader. Because again, I thought growing profitability, any way you need to do it, and share price and equity was our responsibility. And I saw, again, this is the key, I saw people in our organization as functions, engineers, accountants, hourly workers, union workers, labor, all the ways we describe the people we recruit into our firm for my success. And I thought the economic exchange was, you give me the skills that I need for my success, and I'll pay you fairly with benefits that are competitive. I thought that was the exchange. And when I don't need you anymore, like we're seeing in today's economy, I'll just lay you off, fire you, let you go. It's not personal. It's just business. That's the way nobody ever said that to me, but that's what I experienced. That's what I taught. And these series of revelations. So I saw the lens through which I saw people in our organization was they were functions for my success. And the series of revelations, the lens through which I saw people changed dramatically, capped off by being at a wedding and seeing how everybody was celebrating this young man and young woman being married, how precious they were. And the revelation occurred to me. I said, oh my God, the 12,000 team members around the world in my span of care, they're not functions. They're not engineers, accountants, labor, machinists, assemblers. They're somebody's precious child that's been placed in my care. And the way I treat them will have a profound impact on their health and the way they go home and treat their spouse and their children and behave in their community. And that revelation, when you, the way you see people affects the way you treat people. Okay. And so it dramatically changed everything for me. And I felt that some higher power was simply using me to show the way the world was intended to be, where people genuinely care for each other. So again, that huge revelation for me that happened about 20, you know, really started in 1997. So, you know, quite some time ago, but again, it transformed the way I saw my responsibility as a leader, because again, the expression we say now is the way we lead impacts the way people live. Okay. And again, I speak in healthcare. I've spoken to the United Nations, to Congress, in hospitals, nonprofit. I mean, I've shared my message in every part of society around the world, and it gets a universal, dramatically positive response because people feel used, not cared for. And Tom Friedman, a couple of years ago, New York Times, I think nailed it. He said, more than a poverty of money, we have a poverty of dignity. And when people feel used as opposed to cared for, they feel a sense of humiliation. And when people feel a sense of humiliation, you'll see anger and unrest like you've never seen before. So what are we seeing today? We have a dramatically prosperous economy. Okay, good paying jobs, you know, lots good, strong stock market, but we have the highest level anxiety, depression, suicide we've ever had. And what I've come to realize is because exactly what Tom Friedman said, it's not about pay. Okay. It is about the way we see people and treat people. And we weren't taught to care for people. We were taught to use people for our success and to discard them, as we're seeing many companies do around the country. I mean, we have the highest level of layoffs we've had in years this year, despite a prosperous economy. Why? To improve profitability. Okay. So anyway, I believe business could be the most powerful force for good in the world if we had leaders who saw the profound responsibility of leadership and had the skills and courage to care for the people they had the privilege of leading.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It makes sense. And now 10 years later, after the first edition of the book, you've proven that it's the right way to do things. Has the business thrived over this period of time?
Yeah. Let me go back to the word care, because I think it'll answer your question. When Harvard wrote a case study on our company about 8 to 9 years ago, they invited me up to Harvard. It was being introduced. Used to teach a group of global executives. So I sat in the Kennedy Auditorium as the 160 executives who had studied the case the night before discussed the Barry Wimler story, the Bob Chapman story. And after an hour discussion, Jan Rifkin, the professor, asked a question that never had occurred to me. He said, is Barry Wimler's success its culture or its business strategy? I hadn't really thought of that. And I listened to them discuss it for about 10 minutes, and then they voted. 75% of the people voted that our success was our culture. And Jan Rifkin looked over at me and said, Bob, would you like to comment? And I got up in front of this group of people, having never given it any thought, and said, I understand why you think our culture is the foundation of our success. But let me share with you how I would answer that question. If Ferrari builds the ultimate high-performance engine, exceptional mechanical design, and you put 85 octane in that engine, it'll start, it'll run, but probably won't run to its potential. You put premium fuel, which it is designed to have, that engine will perform to its potential. So I said, the foundation of our success is a business model I designed in 1988 for my challenges in the 80s, it's late 70s and 80s. That business model was doing just fine, which was based on balance and diversity of customers and clients. But when we introduced this, it was running on 85 octane, and it was doing fine. But when we came to this revelation of seeing people as our purpose, and we embraced a culture of caring, that engine started performing at higher levels. So you could look and say, well, you were doing fine, but boy, you're doing really well now. So I would say to you, our culture became the premium fuel, but you can't just put premium fuel in a Toyota and think you're going to race a Ferrari, okay? So the foundation of my stewardship to our 12,000 team members around the world is a business model that is safe for them, okay? That is well-designed. I always say it's not about getting the right people in the bus. It's about designing a safe bus, which is your business model. And then having drivers who are your leaders who know how to drive that bus and know where they're going and get there safely. So the key really is to us a business model that is robust, which has been proven. You know, we got through the 08-09 downturn with this culture of caring without letting anybody go, despite our orders going down 30%, because we approached it from how are we going to make sure that we treat people with respect and dignity and they don't get hurt. So again, the company was doing well before this. It is doing better because, and we're attracting unbelievable talent. Our clients are very much appreciate our culture. And it's inviting companies who want to be a part of our company. So our activity to adopt additional companies around the world has increased. So there's just no downside to caring.
There's got to be some downside because not everybody does it.
Well, okay. You're right. To my knowledge, we might have some nice business executives, but it's not a disciplined culture. It's not an intentional. It's just you happen to have a nice guy. The reason you don't do it is we're not talking. You don't get promoted for caring. You know, if you look at some of the legendary executives we hold up in this country, you know, Steve Jobs, Jack Welch, they aren't known for caring. They were known for shareholder appreciation, their evolution of technology. Who is held up in this country for caring? So boards of directors, shareholders, they don't really care whether you are nice to your team members or that you treat them with respect and dignity. And they support you deciding to lay off people to improve profitability because caring is just not a word used in business, okay? And so it's, I again, 300 speeches in the last few years. Nobody at Harvard, McKinsey, nobody debates the merits of what I say and the logic of it and the healing power of it. They're not taught to care. They're not rewarded to care. So if a board of directors, you know, has got 200,000, and I know some specific example, we have 200,000 people, but we decided that in our sector, our investors would really kind of like to see us to go through a layoff because it will improve profitability. Do you think those directors discuss the impact on the 10,000 people they're going to let go? I guarantee you they do not. They talk about the financial implication, how long the severance they're going to pay for, how many weeks they do. And it's just business. And so caring is just not a word that we use in business. You're not taught to care. And so what we have, actually, we have a university in Brigham where we teach people how to care. It is, you can't just ask people to care. When Bernie Sanders was a possible presidential candidate, they found out that young people were somewhat inclined to favor this idea towards socialism. And the CEO roundtable, a number of people I happen to know, America's top CEOs, came out with a statement: we need to care about more than just the shareholders. A, it's sad they needed to do that. That you needed to even state that. And B, I know they have no idea how to care. They're not rewarded for caring. The shareholders don't. So we have a society that's based on money, power, and position. It doesn't matter how you get it, as long as it's legal, because then you can write checks to charity and everybody will say you're a wonderful person. The greatest act, I tell CEOs all the time, the greatest act of charity is not the checks you write. The greatest act of charity is the way you treat the people you have the privilege of leading. We need charities to heal the brokenness we're creating because we don't know how to care.
Or everybody can just read the book and go to the university and then they can learn the skills. which I think, and thank you for that. I think that that really is my question. It's so obvious listening to you and looking at the success that you've had that the approach that you've taken is probably harder, but way better. And so why is it that other people don't do it? I'm sure that there's lots of companies who are, but lots of companies that aren't. And it's that they don't know. It's too hard that they perceive it is.
It's real obvious. I gave a speech in Dallas to a men's luncheon at a major university, and a gentleman came up to me and he said, "Bob, I run a major public company, internationally public company, and I thought my job was to gain market share and be a market leader in the world, which I did." He said, "It never occurred to me until I heard you talk, to care for the 130,000 people who work for our firm." This was at a church with an incredibly fine gentleman, but to hear a gentleman with that impact, not only for the 130,000 people in his organization, but all the customers that are impacted by their team members, it never occurred to me to care for the people in our organization. It was never a discussion. You know, they might have an employee engagement survey. They may have these surveys, but he couldn't have been a finer individual. And he began working with us to learn how to care. Because again, when the CEO roundtable said we need to care about all of our stakeholders, it's a nice statement. They just have no idea. What do you mean? Better salary, better benefits. I don't know what you mean, care. What we mean is treat people with dignity and respect. Because again, in my education and my experience, George, it never occurred to me that the way I would run Barry Wehmler would affect the way people would go home and treat their spouse and their kids. When we say what's wrong with, you know, kids today, 88% of all people go home feeling they work for an organization that doesn't care about them, which affects how they feel about themselves. They go home, they don't necessarily treat their spouse right. What do kids look at? They look at families under stress. They just got laid off. They just got degraded, you know, at work. And so we're sending people home with lack of dignity. Most people think we need to pay them minimum wage. We need to get better. It's about treating people, because again, we've deployed this idea from China to Serbia to India to Italy to France. It is a universal truth. People simply want to know they matter. Okay. And we're taught it's about pay and benefits. Okay. Pay them well and give them good benefits. Never was I in a class or in a discussion after I got out of graduate school about the impact, psychological impact on layoffs and business model design. Okay. It was always about marketing and business law, et cetera. It's about techniques. Okay. So we're not producing, we're not in our university. So again, after that conversation with that gentleman and many others similar, we realized that the issue is our universities are not preparing us to be leaders. They're preparing us to be marketing executives, accounting, you know, scientists, lawyers, with technical skills, without the compatible human skills to enter society and treat people with respect and dignity. So again, they're not bad people. The system is what's wrong. We have a system based on money, power, and position.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
And success is defined as money, power, and position, not the way you treat people, okay? Because we hold up people who have quarterly earnings shares and shareholders reward them. I mean, this company I'm telling you about that let 20,000 people go out of the 200,000 people, their board was advised to do that to take advantage of this kind of downsizing in the tech center. The public rewarded that those directors. The share price went up when they announced they're going to hurt 20,000 people. It should have gone down. Okay. But and why would you announce that you're going to hurt 20,000 people? Why would you want the public to know that you're intentionally going to hurt 20,000 people? Because you want them to know you're going to be more profitable and they will reward you. So it's a broken system, not bad people. Not bad people. The bridge from using people to caring for people is a bridge that is not well traveled because people don't know how to do it. They're not rewarded to do it. And so again, we were just blessed with this vision of the way the world was intended to be. Where we come together, we share our gifts, and we go home feeling valued, and we feel safe with the leaders that we have in our care. So again, this is not just business. It's hospitals, it's nonprofits, it's the military, it's Congress. Every part of society I speak in every part of the world, we have the exact same issue. We are taught to use people to achieve goals and discard them when we don't need them anymore. And it's creating this epidemic of anguish, this, you know, and again, you can't solve this with money. We have a prosperous economy, but we have one where people are deprived of dignity, where they feel valued. Okay. How do you walk up to somebody and say, you know, sorry, Joe, but we're going to have to let you go. I know you've been here for 6 months. I know you joined us and we told you had a good future, but you know, we need to give the public what they want, which is a layoff. And you're one of the people we can let go, but we're going to pay you for 3 months and I'm sure you'll be fine. It's nobody discusses the impact on an individual when he walks home to his family and says, I don't know what we're going to do. I know we just decided to buy this house. I don't know what we're going to do. We don't think about that. I guarantee you the board of directors does not talk about the impact on those people they're going to hurt, nor the people that say that no longer feel safe. Because if Mary and Joe, who sit in the room with me, got let go, I could be next. So we live with this, you know, anxiety, this insecurity, because we're just being used. And again, we reward people to do that. The public, the investors reward people that do that. So, and so we really got a broken system. And so we're working hard in with business universities now, it's some targeted business universities to start creating tomorrow's leaders who have the skills and courage to care. You cannot ask people to care. It is a skill. You can't ask them to start speaking Chinese on Monday. You have to teach them Chinese. Caring is a skill that we learned through this journey.
Have you considered writing a book about this, Bob?
No, I haven't considered. That's a good idea. Well, I mean,
then you can update it later with the new information that you've learned.
Well, I mean, let me add to that point. If you told me 12 years ago that I was going to write a book someday, I'd probably say I'd land on the moon before I write a book. I'm an accountant. But everybody who'd come into our company, Simon Sinek's the first person that came in and saw and said, I've never seen anything like this. You've got to share it with the world. So we kept getting this urge, you got to write a book. So eventually we decided to do that, having no idea how the book would, you know, we didn't do it to write, make money. We did it to share the blessing we've been given with the world. Well, we were told by our publisher, Penguin, that a good business book sells 5, maybe 15,000. In the first edition of our book, which is 10 years old, we sold 110,000 copies in 7 languages around the world.
Wow.
And the Harvard case study I mentioned that Harvard initiated, it is now one of their better selling cases with over 70 universities from Japan to India using it to teach leadership. And so the reason we wrote the new edition 10 years later is because the first book 10 years ago was really about my journey from management to leadership. And then how do you do it? You know, kind of the how to. But we've had 10 years of experience now that is profound. And we felt that we had to share what we had actually learned in the last 10 years in this revised edition. And so our hope for the book is to share this journey we've been on, to invite others to join us, to start healing this poverty of dignity we have, where we actually care about the people with the skills of caring that we have the privilege of leading.
Well, I'm grateful that you made the investment and that you've made it again to update it. So, Bob, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for sharing your story and what you've learned. And I agree wholeheartedly with everything that you've said. So how can people learn more about you? How can they connect? Where can they get their copy of Everybody Matters?
Well, it's now out. You can order it on Amazon. We've got a website, barrywinwood.com, where we share our message. There's a tremendous amount of public information. I always say to people, if you are interested in joining us on this journey, which this is an invitation to do, when I gave my TED talk about 15 years ago, they animated it. So there's a short version of my TED talk that Simon Sinek invited me to do, which is 10 minutes long. You can watch the animate, you can then look at the book. And then we have a leadership institute where we are helping companies who believe what we believe and want to join us in this journey. We're not trying to sell anybody anything. We feel compelled to share this with the world in a way that people can join us so we can start healing this poverty and dignity we have in the world, because we have leaders who actually care about the people. And caring is not just being nice. Caring is giving them a safe future, sending them home each night, knowing that who they are and what they do matters. So it's all out there on the internet. And I very much appreciate, George, the opportunity to share this message with your audience.
I love it. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Bob your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Pick up your copy of Everybody Matters on Amazon, wherever you buy your books. Check out the Leadership Institute that Bob was talking about and the TED Talk, and I will link all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Bob.
Thanks again. Thank you.
And until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.